Listen and stream the only talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
Good afternoon, Trinidad and Tobago. Good afternoon to the world. This is Kyrie V in your company, and we are going to jump straight into the Lunchtime Doctor, which is being broadcasted on our sister stations as well, Vibe City 105 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM, and Sky 99.5 FM. It's the Lunchtime Doctor, where you can call us, you can ask the doctor your medical questions, and of course, she's going to answer it. Let me tell you our lines already, our numbers, 627-3223, 625-2257. And of course, on WhatsApp, you can even message your questions as well, and she'll be able to answer, 306-1065. It's a Lunchtime Doctor with Dr. Sophia Muhammad. Welcome, Dr. Muhammad. Thanks for having you.
Good afternoon, Carrie, and good afternoon to every single person who's locked in right here to your Lunchtime Doctor. I am Dr. Sophia Muhammad, joining you all for the next hour, here to answer, dissect those medical questions. And I know our lines keep moving and blinking forward.
Of course.
Before we start, however, today being a first, I just want to put a little bit of thought and inspiration into the airwaves. I posted this today and a lot of people responded positively, so I think it clearly resonated. Let it be the month, May. Let it be the month you move mountains. Let no challenge put you down or dull your shine. Let no words break your spirit or derail you from your goal. Let your heart pump your thoughts. Let your mind create that relentless energy, and let your body fuel your passions positively and purposely. So let this month be the month you move mountains, and hopefully move mountains together.
You know, sometimes
we may feel like all these medical challenges are moving a mountain, because some may feel it may be so fearful for patients. And I hope that this program has helped destigmatize and move away some of that fear. And I know we're making that impact from the kind of feedback we get. Over the weekend, we had our Diabetes Association, our Trinidad and Tobago executive meeting, where all the chairs, 20 chairs from all across Trinidad and Tobago, came together. And one of the chair from, I think was Maruga side, say she was walking through and she heard it in a supermarket.
Yeah.
And she was so impressed, she had to stop. And she just listened to the answers and the questions. So to everyone who tune in, and encourage someone to tune in, let this month we move those medical challenges and move those mountains together.
That's some really nice words, Doctor. I appreciate it a lot, and I'm sure that our listeners do. But of course, guys, you can call us at 627-3223, 625-2257. Doctor, let's jump right into it. I have messages coming in already on my WhatsApp. And of course, my WhatsApp number is 306-1065. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Doctor. Good afternoon, Carrie V. I am a regular listener of your program. I even encouraged my friend's doctor last year. My right eye started to run water. I went to another doctor and he gave me a letter to join the eye clinic, which is next week. Can you please tell me why this is happening? Why my eyes keep watering?
Definitely. I'm really glad you're making that move forward and going to see at least some level of healthcare professional. Majority of the times the eye starts to water is because of the converse. So the eye may be experiencing a level of dryness or irritation or some sort of inflammatory. So the white of the eye, the conjunctiva, may be inflamed. It may start to feel dry. And because the eye starts to feel dry, the immediate response of the body is to produce those tears or to create some sort of lubrication. Sometimes it may be an allergy. Sometimes it may be the dust in the air, the Sahara dust. Allergies tend to be the most common causes, but what we tend to also see is that dry eyes. Something as simple as the over-the-counter lubricating drops can help, but I always advise, be mindful if you are indeed diabetic or hypertensive. It could be a retinopathy or some sort of that symptom that's setting in place. So that's why getting that underlying medical checkup is so important. Now, here's when it considers red flags. If with that runny eye or watery eye, we're also noticing pain in the eye. Red flag one time. Mm. Pain in the eyes means there's some sort of increase in the pressure and we need that checked right away. Or if you're seeing redness. Just simple measures you can do, but a clean, and I cannot reemphasize how much that word clean needs to be, clean towel to the eye, and it can be warm. You can warm it in the microwave. You can warm it, put some warm water over it, so a warm, clean towel to the eye. And that relieves some of that either pressure in the eye, it relieves the dryness of the eye, because it could even be a clogged tear duct. So there are a couple things. Hope all that answers and gives you a little perspective. I'm so glad you're asking the information before you go to the doctor so you have an informed conversation. Yes.
We have another one. Good afternoon, doctor. Now, doctor, I don't know if I'm going to be pronouncing this word correctly.
That's okay. That's all right.
Good afternoon, doctor. Good afternoon, Carrie V. I had a chloroscectomy 8 years ago, and I've noticed some time ago that after having a bowel movement, when I wipe, it leaves a yellow, it leaves a yellow color some days. Can you give me some insight?
So it may be that the person may not have typed the whole word correctly. It may be a colonoscopy or some sort of, I did see here the word ectomy, so it may be a removal of a part of the gut. So anytime you hear in colon, it is part of the gut. If it's ectomy, it means removal.
Removal, nice.
So yes, what you're suggesting there, depending on where the bowel was resected or surgically removed, or if it was an examination, there would be some remaining or remnants that when you're wiping, you want to take a look at. I would ensure that if there isn't any blood in there. Anytime we see blood coming out of the back passages, your perianal canals, you want to make sure that that doesn't come from the gut lining. So with that yellowing, however, it may be some mucus, it may be a polyp or something there within the gut. This is how we're going to move forward with this. One, take note of it. Take note of the time, whatever you're noticing. And I know this may sound a little gross, but
doc, they sent a follow-up answer. They said it was a gallbladder removal.
Okay, so a cholecystectomy. So the gallbladder removal. And what is it did they experience after the gallbladder removal? What did they see?
They said they noticed some time ago that after having a bowel movement, there was a yellow color after they wiped.
Now, after the gallbladder, the cholecystectomy, after that is removed, the gallbladder itself is, unless I understand what that organ is, the gallbladder, that gallbladder is indeed where there is a breakdown of some of the toxins in the body. And if it is, there are too much of the toxins accumulated in the gallbladder, there may be gallbladder stones. Now, what that fluid that they're noticing is something called bile. Bile comes out of the liver. So that may be perfectly normal, the yellow part, and has a bile leakage. If, however, just as we said, if there's blood, that is something to be concerned about. If that yellow liquid, after they have a bowel action, becomes, if it looks frothy, if it looks darkened, then that's something to be concerned about. But the normal yellow liquid that passed through, that may just be the bile fluid that leaks out of the tummy after the gallbladder is removed. So I wouldn't be too concerned about it. However, like we always see, note it. If you're seeing it happening more than once, if you're noticing that it's increasing or becoming more profuse, then definitely get that checked out.
Thank you so much, doctor. If you're now joining us, good afternoon and welcome. It's now time for the Lunchtime Doctor, which is being broadcasted on our sister stations, Vibe City 105 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM, and Sky 99.5 FM. Every Monday to Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m., we are here with Dr. Sophia Mohammed. You can call us with your medical questions, and Dr. Sophia Mohammed will be glad to answer it. You can call us at 627-3223. Or even 625-2257 and our WhatsApp on 306-1065. I have another message here for you, Dr. Mohammed. Hi, good afternoon, Doctor. Good afternoon, Carrie V. What are your thoughts on berberine as a metformin alternative? Is a continuous glucose meter accurate? Oh, so that's two questions. Okay, my bad.
Good.
All right. So the first question is, what are your thoughts on berberine metformin alternative? And the second one is a continuous glucose monitor accurate as a blood sick monitor?
I know exactly.
You know what? Okay.
Let's jump into the last one, the continuous glucose monitoring, CGM. Now, we are only now introducing that within the country. I don't believe it's in the public health sector yet. At the Diabetes Association, we actually do have them available. And it's almost like putting a patch onto your skin and then it continuously monitors that glucose reading. The answering question, one, is it accurate? Yes, it is very accurate. The side of the cons, however, is that it's a little more expensive than a normal glucose monitoring system where you would have to use the lancet, prick the finger, and of course extract the blood. However, in that, you're already hearing the pros and cons of both. And in this month, we are going to do an article in Health Plus and dissect that continuous glucose monitoring unit. While it's a little bit more expensive, the convenience of it, it far outweighs the individual or daily monitoring, right? So this is a monitor that can stay on like a patch, stays on even in the night. And I'm going to share an experience by a mother who has two type 1 diabetic children, a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. And she says now that she has the CGM on her phone, because it connects to the app, right, as a tech thing. She said for the first time in her life, she actually had a comfortable night's sleep because she didn't have to be waking up and checking on her children. If their sugar levels will go low, if it'll go high. There's a monitor. So if it goes low or high, an alarm will go off or a trigger will go off on her phone. So yes, it is excellent. There's going to be more research, more sensitization in the public about it. And to all those who's listening, you can indeed contact our Diabetes Association because we will have it available there. Now, let's jump into the first question that they asked about berberine. Now, again, when we talk about integrated medicine or herbal treatments and plants, many come up. I'm comfortable with integrating it. I'm not comfortable with substituting your medication. The things about the tablets, they are tried, they're tested. We know what their longevity or their action hours would be, the window of action. When it comes to these medications or herbal treatments like berberine, we don't have that information. So let's not, please, I encourage all of our diabetic patients, if you are on metformin, however comfortable, happy, well, healthy you feel, if you're prescribed metformin, please continue to be consistent with your metformin, because the body will achieve an equilibrium and then you stop taking the metformin and then you can plunge into hyperglycemic comas back again. So I hope that answers the question. Always, always be guided by your healthcare professional, even by your nutritionist. But good questions, whoever sent that.
Thank you so much, Rekha. So we are getting a call. Let's see who's there. Hi, good morning, you're live. Afternoon, you're live.
Good morning, Kaivi.
Hey, what's up?
Salaam alaikum to Dr. Mohammed. Question I want to find out, Doc, right? Recently, I had to go and see the doctor, and when the doctor finished with the tests, the first thing was tablets, right? So I want to find out is that we've seen a lot of things on the internet now, and during the COVID season, there was a lot of push medicine that was recommended for people to take, right? I just want to find out from doctors that sometimes where they do use other things besides tablets. Because when you check the tablets and them, there are so many side effects with the tablets that if we could use other things without side effects, so it could help us much better, whatever health problems that we have. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Very good question. Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for the greeting. So let's analyze that. And I like to consider the fact that I integrate both Western medicine and Eastern medicine. I'm giving you my personal opinion, having also pursuing certification in lifestyle medicine, where food is also what we eat, what we drink, our lifestyle habits is considered medicine in addition to the medication. So you are very correct. There are always substitutes. But we must always analyze the risks involved. When something has a tried and tested platform, or tried and tested, has gone through all the rigors, and that's what's recommended, then that would be the avenue you can take. When you take an avenue that's not tried and tested, and we did talk about some of those additional herbal supplements, you're not too sure what the response would be. So you have if it is, say, diabetes, and that's one we often talk about, or even high blood pressure, and certain medications are prescribed for you, but you hold back on taking the medication, then you're at a risk of the complications of high blood pressure, be it a stroke, be it a heart attack, be it the inevitable passing away, death. However, let's see, your blood pressures are within the milder range, or in the diabetes, you're in a pre-diabetic phase. So it really depends on the intensity and the severity. And you want to take, in a discussed, informed discussion with your healthcare professional, you want to utilize watching your lifestyle habits, what you're eating, your exercise, your stress levels. Then sure, you can pursue that avenue. But it really depends. You're not going to, after you've had a heart attack, say, well, I'm only going to do lifestyle habits, because we need the medications to help manage tightly. But if you're in the early stages, the pre-diabetic or the early hypertensive, then yes, just looking at your habits, just looking at some of the foods that you eat, you can certainly manage your disease process. Now, that's why we call NCDs, the diabetes, high blood pressure, all your cardiovascular, even lung cancer, which is directly related to smoking, non-communicable diseases, preventable lifestyle diseases. So we have to utilize our intelligence in this matter as well. But if you prescribe certain medications, do not go against what the healthcare professional has prescribed to you. And keep in mind, Dr. Google is not treating one specific patient.
And we have to understand that, because you remember, when everything happens, the first thing you go to Dr. Google, the university. All right, let's take this call. Let's use there. Hi, good afternoon, you're live.
Good afternoon, doctor. I caught a stroke 6 months ago today, and yesterday, 2 days, I'm feeling very weak. What can I use?
Right. After a stroke, the entire body may feel weaker. Definitely, we want to make sure, just as I just talked about, your hydration and nutrition is up to mark. I'm not too sure if the stroke affected the way you may be able to chew and digest, if it affected the facial muscles. If in that case, then you want to improvise, you can. There are those high-calorie drinks that will, high-protein and give a fair amount of energy drinks if you're not able to eat and digest well. You'd also want to, at 6 months, there must be some level of rehabilitation exercises or physiotherapy. You see, the body, after it goes into that rest, the muscles can also atrophy, as in the muscles can become very weak. And you may even lose muscle function and return into some level of normalcy. You may feel weakened. Here's where that physiotherapy can help. As I mentioned, including some high energy drinks, of course, let you be guided by a nutritionist or your healthcare professional. In some cases, like the stroke, we may even introduce the vitamin, your micronutrients, B12 and zinc in particular, because they certainly help support the neurovascular, the neuro system. Hope that answers your question.
Thank you so much. Let's take this other call. Hi, good afternoon. You're live.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome.
I have a question for the doctor.
Sure.
What should be a healthy soup?
A healthy
stool.
Soup?
Stools. S-T-O-O-L.
Oh, stool.
Okay, so right, yes.
Thank you so much.
So, bowel habits. Yeah. Healthy, we'd like to consider brown. If you're seeing it darkened in color, that means blood is there. If you're seeing white, pale stools, and we actually had a whole conversation on different colors of stool. If you're seeing white, then that's also mean there are too much chemicals being processed, toxins within the body. So typical brown, and you would expect at least one bowel action a day. Some persons have a bowel action after every meal. So that gives you a little idea. You also, I always talk about looking and seeing if there are any specks of blood. More and more, especially with these high processed foods out there, there is a change in our bowel habits. And we're even having younger children, young adolescents, having changes in their bowel habits. And it's because of the amount of processed foods. So they're not getting enough fiber in their foods. Hope that answers your question.
Thank you so much. Let's take this other call. Good afternoon. Ooh, try me back. This is the Lunchtime Doctor, which we do every Monday to Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. And we have here Dr. Sophia Mohammed. This is also being broadcasted on our sister stations, Vibe City 105 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM, and Sky 99.5 FM. On numbers, you can call 627-3223, 625-2257, or you can even send me a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. Let's jump straight to the messages. Hi, good afternoon, Doctor. Good afternoon, Carrie V. I am 49 years old, going on 50, and I have multiple fibroid. My menstrual cycle is nil, only spots ever so often. Can you tell me what can be causing this?
Okay, so first and foremost, because there's those fibroid, which is growths within the endometrial layers of your reproductive system, because the fibroids are there, then the body may feel that the hormonal levels may not be in equilibrium, and a fibroid can also implant in a way that the body may feel there's a pregnancy there, so you won't see the cycle. So between the hormonal imbalance and the presence of the fibroid, those things can send mixed messages to the body. It's so important that another thing that would cause not having a period is if the fibroid is leading to a reduced blood count. So when one has anemia, then they certainly may not be seeing their blood, their cycle, their menstruals as much as possible. So let's make sure you have that appointment with your, in this case, your gynecologist. The healthcare professional will certainly, there are medications we can do to manage the fibroids. And there is, of course, certain OCPs, oral contraceptive pills, that we can do to manage the fibroids.
Guys, you can call us at 627-3223, 625-2257. Let's take this call and see who's there. Hi, good afternoon, you're live.
Good afternoon, Doctor. I had a growth in my right eye and I had surgery in 2015. The growth grew back the same size. What shall I do at present?
So that previous surgery was quite a long time ago. And now that you're seeing this growth again, we definitely want to get it evaluated. Any growth in the eye, there is the more common one called a pterygium. It can be absolutely non-invasive, not something that means a cancer. The minute we hear the word growth, we think it's a cancer. So those growths tend to be non-invasive and non-cancerous. But it's so important we get it checked out, because our tendency is to touch the eyes, to rub the eyes, and very easily that pterygium or that growth can become infected. And the eyes are so delicate, it's not a place we want to become infected. So let's take that next step, get it checked out, and let's get an evaluation.
Doc, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Carrie V. I have a 2-year-old daughter, and okay, before I finish read this message, Doctor, let me just take this call, all right? Hi, good afternoon. You can try us back, 627-3223, 625-2257. Good afternoon, Carrie V. Good afternoon, Doctor. I have a 2-year-old daughter, And for the past 2 nights, I've realized that there was a lot of coal coming from her eyes. I closed the windows and I took the fan from off of her and I took off the AC. But she still has the coal in her eyes. Can you say what's causing this?
So any sort of eye discharge, and in this case that's what we referred to, mm-hmm. particularly in toddlers, tend to be some sort of viral infection. We often see that. It may not necessarily only be the AC or the fan blowing on. It could be an allergy. It could be, like I mentioned, that viral infection. Mm-hmm. It could be something a little bit more sinister where the tear duct can be blocked, as we mentioned. As little one is 2 years old, please, we need to get that checked out. There can be something like a normal eye discharge just in the morning time when the baby is awake. You may see that normal discharge as in just area to clear, or it may be mucus in nature, it may be crusty, and that's in the morning after a usual night of sleep. But if you're experiencing that throughout the day, keep in mind that a toddler, 2 years old, they're probably constantly putting their fingers in all sorts of things and then touching their eyes. So it could be a conjunctivitis caused by either viral or bacterial that's leading to that discharge. Get it checked out, because simple drops or just hygiene can clean that up.
Yes. Thank you so much. Let's take this call. Hi, good afternoon. You're live.
Hello, good afternoon, doctor.
Hi, good afternoon. You're live.
Yeah, you have an excellent program. I have a problem going off on morning. I have a rant and rave. What laxative can I use to ease up?
Oh, I'm so sorry experiencing that. I hear when you say you have to rant and rave. And, you know, we see that complaint with a lot of our elderly patients. First and foremost, let's look at what's happening the night before. Many times we tend to be dehydrated, and you all would have heard me talk about that quite often. Mm-hmm. Have at least a glass of water about an hour before you go to sleep. First thing in the morning, have at least one glass of water, tap warm, and it can just be that water. Some persons like to add a drop of lemon juice, or even a drop of cinnamon. They grate the cinnamon into the water and they make their own tea. Even before they brush their teeth, that activates the peristalsic motions of the gut. But first and foremost is nutrition. What you're eating, at least make sure there's some sort of fiber in there. And of course, we want to watch some of the medications that you may be on. One of the side effects of some of those medications, especially if it's pain-related medications, tend to be constipation. Most pain-related medications that has codeine in it, major side effect is constipation. So I hope with these few little tips, that change can happen for you.
All right, thank you so much. Guys, you can call us 627-3223, 625-2257. This is the Lunchtime Doctor, which we do every Monday to Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Hi, good afternoon, you're live.
Good afternoon, doctor. I have an issue. About 2 years ago, I had an issue where I held up my urine and it caused me to have a problem with the prostate and I wasn't able to urinate properly. After that, the doctor put me on something called Flumax, which caused erectile dysfunction. Is there anything I can do to reverse that or to help it? Because I stopped taking the tablet about a year ago and I still haven't seen it.
Thank you so much.
Okay. So that's quite a complicated, convoluted history, and I'm really sorry experiencing all of that. Now, yes, Flomax does affect ejaculation and it does affect the sex drive. Yes, there are quite a few things that can be done, and there are different substitute medications that can be utilized to manage the prostate concerns so that it doesn't affect ejaculation and the other aspects of reproduction. And just pleasure on the whole. So let's make sure, one, you return to that urologist, because they will know different evaluations. They may need to even do an ultrasound of the prostate to see if there's any enlargement. BPH, benign prostatic hyperplasia, can also affect your general reproductive activities.
Mm.
So it's a combination of things. Let's make sure, one, you get that follow-up appointment. We do a examination, maybe the ultrasound. And of course, there may be a couple of blood tests we want to do. I want you to, however, know and recognize, don't give up hope. There are many other medications on the market that can help improve all of those conditions, but your urologist will guide you. Hope that answers the question.
Thank you so much. Hi, good afternoon, you're live.
Good afternoon. Are you hearing me clearly? Because I think my volume a little soft.
Yes, we're hearing you clearly.
Okay, doc, good afternoon. I want to get your opinion on the what I consider to be the greatest threat of medicine in this age, is the amount of information that is available online and through normal channels, and even within the normal channels, there are so much contradiction that it's difficult for people to really make an assessment of what to accept and what not to accept. But my position is that I look at all the information and kind of categorize them in terms of when I see there's no argument between whatever information is provided, I call that fundamental information, like the effect of inflammation and insulin resistant organ. There seems to be no argument there, so I put that in the category of fundamental information. And then there's general information, which like people tell you eat 4 meals a day, blah blah blah. And then there's specific information which related to you specifically, as you always mentioned, know your numbers. So when you're assessing general information and people tell you eat 6 meals a day or whatever, you had a or eat, let me say, pineapple or fig. When you're diabetic, you can't really do that. So you have to know your numbers. At least this is my approach. Know my numbers and select what I think is related to me. So people give you this general information and people run with it and it doesn't have any benefits. And last but not least, the difference between modern medicine and the traditional herbal medicine is that modern medicine tends to be for when you're sick, to cure, to give an operation, to get a tablet for toothache, blah, blah, blah. But traditional medicine is more like a wellness kind of a position. So let me hear if you understand. Thanks for listening to me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so very much, sir. Now, you said something, and I hope everyone heard, know your numbers. Yes, that's something we emphasize here. But I would want to suggest to everyone listening, you, in every decision you make, make an informed approach. You're very correct. There's so much information out there, and it can become information overload. We all experience that during COVID, especially when it comes to this health information. What's right? What's not right? I think we have enough sources now that we know who are the informed, accurate, evidence-based medicine. The one thing that we as medical professionals strive to believe and form our practice on is evidence-based. So if there is, and so there's evidence-based versus anecdotal. And let me give you an example. Let's say a new medication comes on the market, but it's only been tested with 10 persons. And every one of those 10 persons had success. But in Trinidad and Tobago, it have 1.4 million. So what's going to happen with the other 1 million plus patients, right?
Mm.
I want to make sure there's a proper sample size. I want to make sure I look at different ages, different categories, different demographics. And that is where evidence-based medicine comes to play. Now, we look at research, we look at data, and of course, we look at the new trends, because there's also innovative medicine. Now, you mentioned modern versus traditional. A host of our modern medicine is actually from Eastern culture. We all know the stories of penicillin, the antibiotic. It comes from a herb. So we know this. Balancing it is where is crucial. And the one thing we are seeing is that many healthcare professionals now have a well-being approach, especially after COVID, a much more holistic approach. So I would suggest to you, trust evidence-based medicine. Of course, look at informed decision. Let's say you're building a house, and in building that house, You're not going to take the first supplier or the first construction supervisor that is recommended to you. You're going to evaluate. You're going to do your research. The same thing applies to any medical challenge, medication, procedures. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you so much. We have a message here from Sangeet 106.1 FM, and I want to thank you all for joining us. You can send us a message on a 3065. Good afternoon, Doctor. Apple cider vinegar, is that good for your blood pressure and weight loss?
So to those who follow arduously on this program know that I am a fan of the apple cider vinegar. However, I want us to keep in mind there's a certain recommended dose. The one, whichever one you're using, it typically has to be on, it's on the bottle. If you're having apple cider vinegar and it's a concentrated form, make sure you dilute it properly. Yes, it's excellent to manage your blood pressure, to lower it down, even help with that gut digestion. But try not, if it's a concentrated versions, to have it over, if not properly diluted, because it can affect the enamel of your teeth. So we want to make sure while we're improving our gut and managing our cardiovascular, we're not damaging our teeth in the process. Hope that answers your question.
Thank you so much. You can call us 627-323-625-2257. Good afternoon, Carrie V. Good afternoon, Doctor. My 9-year-old son has been experiencing ear popping. The first time he got it was earlier this year, and it was extremely painful and had to be taken to the Children's Hospital for antibiotics. But of lately, ever so often, it reoccurs. Can you tell us why this is happening?
Yes. Now, with children, especially any sort of is ear infections, they said in the beginning, yes?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. With children in particular, they do have that middle ear infection, and it may need those antibiotics, even the ear drops, the topical drops. It happens primarily because, again, our young ones, they tend to put things into the air, touch, just like they would touch their eyes, they tend to wiggle the air quite a bit. So first and foremost, hygiene of hands is so important. Two, it may be that whatever there was in terms of the preliminary ear infection, sometimes that ear infection may not be properly treated. So if it was a bacterial ear infection and it may persist, you definitely would need, especially in this young one, to make sure it's properly treated, because anything with the middle ear, it can continue to affect those small little bones and the fluid within the middle ear in future time. So I would suggest, please just return to the pediatrician, get it checked out, or the healthcare professional, get it checked out, get it properly checked, where they will use the otoscope, shine the light, look at the eardrum, and really evaluate to see if there's any residual ear infection there.
Thank you so much. Hi, good afternoon, you're live.
Hi, hello, good day to you.
Hi, good afternoon, you're live.
Good day to you and to doctor. I just have two fast questions for doctor. Thank you. I got the COVID test, two sets of tests, right? And since then, maybe about 2 months now, the whole of my left hand, right? Now and then I'm just getting cramps and sometimes numbness, right? And also second question, I have kidney stones, right? Stones in my kidney. And I attend clinic, right? I got some tablets last time I attend clinic, maybe 2 weeks now, and the doctor told me, well, the stones are small, and he's given me medication to pass it out, right? I noticed about 3 nights on a stretch, I'm just getting up fast and wetting myself. I don't know why it's happening. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I'm really sorry experiencing all that level of distress. Let's talk about the kidney stones in particular. Yes, the first part of it would be medications to help normally break down, let the body break down the kidney stones, and it's emitted or passed through the normal urological system. That might sound a little complicated, but it does happen. That's the first line of treatment. Second line of treatment is where we go in either the shockwave treatment, which is shockwave lithotripsy, which actually breaks down the stone and then it passes down if it's bigger, or we do surgical treatment. But the first line tends to be just the medication. Now, it's keep in mind, for kidney stones to have been present within your body, there's certain dysfunctions that are already happening within the metabolism of these chemicals in your body. I don't think the numbness or the feelings that you're having in your hand is related to the COVID test, because it's not one of the symptoms associated with either the COVID test or the vaccination. You may have been experiencing them before and it became more aware or alert of the symptoms after you had either the test or the vaccination. Definitely, as we talked about before, let's get you properly checked out for diabetes. Let's know your HbA1c. Let's know your blood pressure value, because there may be other underlying causes that need to be treated to prevent what you're experiencing now. Hope that answers the question.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, doctor. Is it normal for a 10-year-old boy to wet his bed every night?
Right. So no, first and foremost, 10-year-old bed wetter is not normal. However, at that age, boy or girl, they are going through a host of changes in their body. And bed wetting is known to be one of those, what the body presents, a somatic symptom, if there's anxiety related or if there are hormonal changes related. It can even be a symptom of aggression or abuse. So a child may be experiencing a host of anxiety or depressive symptoms, but they're not showing it. And when in the nighttime, they end up bedwetting because that anxiety persists even when they're sleeping. I would suggest before the parent, because it can be a scary time for parent. They may feel they want to discipline the child. They may feel they want to, not too sure how to approach the situation. Mm. Acknowledge that it can be a host of concerns. It can even be anatomical, an infection in the bladder. So start with taking your child to a healthcare professional, a pediatrician, and then that person will go a little bit in depth. But what we have seen with 10-year-old and bedwetting, it tends to be anxiety related and that host of hormonal variations they present with.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon. Oh, you can try us back 627-3223-625-2257. This is a lunchtime doctor with Dr. Safiya Mohammed. Good afternoon, doctor. Which of the following tests is the best way of checking the prostate? PSA, ultrasound, or digital examination?
So it really depends on what is the symptom. If someone is having blood in the urine, then I definitely want to do an ultrasound. Each one of those tests give me different readings, especially the blood test. If there's a family history of prostatic cancer, then I definitely want to do the blood test. So it really depends on what the symptoms is, what the family history is, and what the next steps are. If we've already had a diagnosis of BPH, and we already know that we're going to, say, pursue treatment, then probably it would be the ultrasound. So it really depends on what the situation is. Hope that answers the question.
Thank you so much, Doc. Let me check here. Good afternoon, Doctor. Problems with sciatic nerve numbness in foot and leg in the nighttime. Can you please advise? Thank you very much.
So at the end of this, Carrie will now become very much
yes,
Medicine 101.
Of course. I would know all of these things.
Because, so what the person is asking about is a very common pain called sciatica. And that sciatica pain starts like from the hip level, goes down the glutes. They say they feel the pain extensively in the butt, down the legs themselves, the limbs. They may feel it on the lateral sides of the legs. So that sciatica or that pain tends to be if there's a nerve compression either within the hip area, within the lumbar spine, and it tends to be some sort of decompression there. It can also be arthritic in nature. There are quite a few things that can cause that sciatica pain. Most importantly, is to get that checked out. Identify the dermatomes. The doctor will identify the source of the pain and will start you right away on specific exercises, decompression exercises, physiotherapy to help ease that pain. Once that pain is there, it will not just go away. It will just get worse. Sorry to say. That pain tends to be one of the really debilitating, because you may feel it when you're driving and then it distracts them when you're driving. You may feel it when you're walking and it distracts it. You may feel it, as the person mentioned, when they're sleeping. It can be, as we mentioned, even more sinister, like a slip or herniated disc. And that's why it's so, so important to get checked out, because we can pick these things up. We can start the treatments right away. And of course, you can even at home. So let's just say, at home, what a few of the things you can do. We talked about the over-the-counter medications. We talked about applying some sort of either the heat or the ice to the area for probably a 10 to 15 minutes. That can ease. Usually, because of where the pain is, bed rest tends to be adjusted. So one may have to sleep on a different side angle. There tends to be a support with the pillows, elevation of the legs, etc. Certain back exercises are recommended to help strengthen the back. And to me, one of the best exercises is that yoga, that not just strengthen the muscles of the body, but to also bring a level of calm, because that pain tends to be very debilitating. Yes. Hope that answers the question.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, Doc. And this is coming from Sky 99.5 FM. I would like to know what could cause itching inside of the male genitalia after intercourse.
So that's a complicated question. Couple things can cause that itching. If there is indeed an infection, if there's a sexually transmitted infection, an STI, all of that can present with that itching feeling, especially after coitus. Definitely look at the ejaculate and see if there's any sort of change in the ejaculate. And of course, you want to make sure you treat that, because it will persist. Hope that answers the question.
Thank you so much. We have one more call. Good afternoon. You're live.
Good afternoon. Hello.
Hi. Yes, we're hearing you. You're live.
Yeah, I took a prostate operation about 6 weeks ago. But since after the operation, I lost my taste bud. Can you give me anything to prevent that? I will snort here.
Thank you.
Okay, I just want to connect that dots. You said prostate? Yeah. Is that what I heard?
Yeah, that's what he said, yeah. Right.
Okay, now I'm not too sure if the anesthetic was via general anesthetic or if it was direct topical anesthetic. The only thing that comes to mind in terms of how your taste buds could be affected is if it was general anesthetic and there was some sort of interaction or manipulation at the throat level. Other than that, this is one area I'll probably need to do a little research myself, because I haven't had a patient in this circumstance, and I'll get back to you tomorrow on this particular question.
Doc, we have one more call. I'm sure we can take this one. Let's see who's there. Hi, good afternoon. You're live.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome.
Excellent program, Doc. Doc, what can you use for continual constipation?
Right. Now, you realize how many patients have this constipation. Let's start right away today with nutrition. Increasing the fiber and increasing the hydration will change that. There are a couple over-the-counter medications, powders that can be added to your meal. They're flavorless, in fact, and they can indeed return that level of normalcy to the bowel habits. I think I really probably need to do a little bit of a conversation in depth on constipation, because it's something that quite a few callers are talking about. Now, we're wrapping down to the last 2 minutes, so I want to just let you all know what's on for tomorrow. On Morning Brew, CNC3, just about 7:30, 7:40 in the morning on CNC3, you can join me on TV for your Health Plus segment. There's where we talk a little bit more about what's in your Guardian Health Plus. Tomorrow is one of those international commemorative days, World Asthma Day. So tomorrow we're going to talk about asthma and, of course, some of these allergic components that we experience. So you can join us on CNC3 at around 7:30, 7:40. And of course, check in your Guardian Health Plus for more information on World Asthma Day.
Thank you so much, Doctor. Well, we just have a few seconds away from the top of the hour. Anything briefly you'd like to tell our listeners?
Definitely. Keep in mind that while these health challenges may be confusing, it may affect every aspect of your life, know that you're not alone. Chances are someone else is going through the same thing. And just by sharing here, I'm sure there's some advice. I want you to share the advice you've learned here today with someone else. Join us again right here tomorrow, 12 to 1. Stay locked into Freedom. Stay locked into your TBC network, because Carrie's going to keep you entertained for the rest of the afternoon.
Yes. Thank you so much.
I'm glad that we have so many callers today. Thank you for your bravery in sharing those questions.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sophia Mohammed. Tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a good one.
Indeed. Be safe, everyone.
Okay, bye. Guys, that was the Lunchtime Doctor, which we do every Monday to Thursday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Of course, on Freedom 106.5 FM, on our sister stations as well, Vibe City 105 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM, and Sky 99.5 FM.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.